Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? Well, it is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. And it puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today we continue our 8-week study on Mark's gospel. And last week, if you were here, we had a chance to hear about two different reactions to Jesus' message. One from his family and one from the scribes. I'm going to fill you in, because we're largely going through this chronologically, and what happened between last week's reading and this week's reading. So, in that time period, Jesus began to tell parables about the kingdom or the reign of God. And so far, the parables that he's told that famous parable about the sower spreading seed on different types of soil. Who's heard that one before? Yeah, and that's what I thought this one was going to be when I first started reading it. Not that, right? And then after that, then he started talking a little bit about the revelation of Jesus' ministry, being like a lamp put on a lampstand instead of under a bushel basket. Who's ever heard of that one before? If you were in Sunday school, maybe, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." You know, don't put it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let, you know, that whole thing. Okay, so those are the ones that he told already. And now we get to ones that are a little bit more obscure. Today we have another kind of pair that we're going to be looking at, and this time it's parables. And so before we dive into parables, though, I want to talk a little bit about this kind of unique genre. Now, here's the thing. Parables are nothing new. They're not new. This is not something new Jesus came up with in the Christian scriptures. In fact, rabbinic Judaism used parables quite frequently. And the thing is that the rabbis didn't come up with this genre of parables. Actually, they drew on even earlier stories of Near Eastern literature that created kind of this essence of what a parable is. Now, functionally, what parables are intended to do, as Reverend Dr. David Lose puts it, they are useful when the truth that you want to share is difficult. Whether it's difficult to hear or comprehend or believe. And so Jesus describes the coming of the kingdom of God in parables because he knows the reality that it introduces is unexpected and that his hearers can't really take it all in at once. So these parables that we're about to look at are unexpected. We're not going to be able to fully understand them in totality. And so too, parables, as another theologian, Eugene Peterson, puts it, he says, parables in this sense are like narrative time bombs. You hear them, tick. You wonder about them, tick. You think you maybe figured out exactly what this parable is like, tick. And then as you walk away from the parable and go about your life, tick. Over the course of the next day or so, tick. All of a sudden, the truth that Jesus meant to convey strikes home, boom, almost overwhelming you with its implications. So with that in mind, knowing that we might not get all of this today, knowing that it might be difficult for us to swallow, and knowing that later this week, this month, this year, over your lifetime, boom, you might just get it. That is where we enter today's parables. Now, as I mentioned, these parables that we hear today are a little bit unique. In fact, this first parable that we heard is so unique that it is only found in Mark's gospel. And so in this parable, what we find is that seed was scattered, and it is unexpectedly growing. And that Jesus is then saying that this is a representation of God's reign. And like we said before, Dr. David Loos reminded us that it's hard to pin down the exact meaning of any parable. But what we might think about for this parable is it might be about how we have a complete inability to control the growth of God's reign. Like, if we are the sowers, we can sow seeds of love, and we can sow seeds of grace, and we can sow seeds of kindness, but the reality is at the end of the day, it is the Spirit that controls that growth. We don't know how the sowing of our love and our grace and our kindness and our understanding, which ones or which people will take root and which will grow, but nevertheless, we are the ones who so freely, because God has so freely given to us. And so then that is the mystery of the Holy Spirit that brings about the growth. And the thing is it's not like we just sow not knowing what will come, but rather, we know. We know what a good harvest looks like. We know when love and justice and peace are multiplied and grow and grow and grow. And I'm kind of glad that only Mark's gospel shares this parable, because it's a little bit humbling for someone like me, or maybe you, those of us who are here in church, those of us who want to support the reign of God among us, those of us who dedicate our entire life to trying to bring about God's full reign of God in this place. You see, what this parable is reminding us is that we cannot dictate whether the seeds we sow will grow at all. We can't control if someone will follow in supporting God's reign, or somebody will come about and believe. All that we can do is sow God's seeds of love and justice and peace. And which ones will grow and how large they will grow and if they will grow is a complete and utter mystery to us. And frankly, not our responsibility. It's God's responsibility. And so that's humbling to know that we are reminded that we're not in control. Instead, we are partners with God. We are subject to the unknown mystery of how God's reign takes hold and grows. And on one hand, this can feel quite powerless, especially those of us in the United States who believe we can pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but that we can make our own destiny, that we can choose and we can transform even natural things to dam them up and tear them down and completely cut down forests. But here, what God is saying to us is there's only some of what we can control. For the mystery of how God's reign takes control and grows, well, that is actually, in some ways to me, liberating. For I don't have the full responsibility to know that I am planting God's goodness and kindness and love in the world. For instead, we are reminded that our community outreach and our programs and our efforts, we probably shouldn't take them so seriously. For we are only one part of the equation. Or as Reverend Dr. Lamar Williamson puts it, against such arrogant self-importance stands the subtle allusion to God's hidden presence and power in today's parable. So parable one. Parable two. The second parable, you've probably heard this one before, right? The whole mustard seed thing, right? We're focusing on one particular seed now, not just seeds thrown everywhere. And the thing about the mustard seed is, well, actually, let's do this, because it's warm out and you're here today. What do we know about this mustard seed parable? What do we know about what Jesus is talking about with this mustard seed today? What kind of plant is it? Oh, this is good. I can just, like, say whatever. This plant is a flying dragon. That is what it is. And, okay, so we got this mustard seed. We heard in the scriptures, right? It's a small seed, right? So it's got to be small. And this seed, though, the thing about the mustard seed is that the actual seed that they're talking about, if we were to go back to Greek and kind of look at it and all the other stuff, I'm not going to get into that because it's Father's Day and it's hot out and you want to go home. And or go to the pool or the beach or something like that. So anyway, the seed is an invasive species in the Middle East. It is a bush that takes over. It is one that penetrates the soil and shoots out like those out-of-control bindweed that we find, or those glossy buckthorns, or those creeping charlies that we find here. It is those things that take over and that we want to tear out and get rid of. And so it's kind of odd that that is the image that Jesus would choose to hold up in today's reading as what the kingdom of God is. You see, this mustard bush, Jesus knew about it. It's not like it was something that he got wrong. In fact, Jesus is employing humorous satire here to explain how God's kingdom works. He knows it is a weed. After all, the thing is in rabbinic Judaism, this particular seed was forbidden to be planted in gardens because it would take over and destroy it all. This bush that grows up, Jesus knows it is not a grand cedar. It does not produce large branches. Jesus knows that the last thing that we'd want to do is even to build any kind of tree in a garden, because who wants the birds coming in and eating all of your things, or the bunnies making a little hole underneath the tree and eating your lettuce? Nobody wants to bring animals into a garden. You want to keep them out. Yet Jesus reminds us with this parable that the way that God works, the way God's realm works, is like an invasive species. For God's vision grows and it runs out of control. It brings in those undesirables, those undesirable birds, or more literally in Mark's gospel, those loser fishermen, those crappy prostitutes, those criminals, those tax collectors, all of those people that are loathed by the religious establishment. It is those kind of things that mustard seed is going to attract. You see, God's realm brings in the desperate, the lowly, the hopeless, those who have no money to support a capital campaign, those who leave things everywhere in the basement and get paint on the floors, and those who don't talk or act or walk or live quite like we do. Those are the undesirables that this little mustard seed are going to bring right in to the kingdom of God. And it's fitting that these two parables are confronting us today. Just the day before we as a church will commemorate the Emmanuel 9. For it was an ELCA member and self-proclaimed white supremacist who walked into a Bible study at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church back in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 congregants because they were black. Did you hear what I said? It was an ELCA member who was the shooter. He was one of us. His ELCA church, I'm sure of it, read these same parables every 3 years. I imagine that murderer was reminded over and over again of God's vision of love and justice and peace. And yet for some reason, some unknown reason to us, that white supremacist did not sprout love in the soil. The seeds were thrown, but no love had grown. Nor did that individual understand how God's reign actually shelters those on the margins. It actually attracts people who are marginalized and different than us. And for us, you know, we can point fingers at other people, but while we might not be the one pulling the actual literal trigger, we too fail to recognize God's vision. We fail to see how God is sprouting and taking over gardens, the gardens that we have come to idolize ourselves, our gardens of power, our gardens of privilege, how God's invasive plant is growing among us and taking over. We fail to imagine a city, a state, a nation that is a refuge to all people. And we too must understand that we do not always hear the parables of Jesus shared and then strive to live as God's beloved children. We too fail to appreciate God's invasive species taking over the ways that we interact as church, as people, as citizens, and bringing about something new. We too are just like our sibling back in the Carolinas, pulling that trigger. Yet at the same time, these same parables are for us. They are for us who struggle, for those of us who feel rejected, who wonder about the future ahead of us. These parables are for us who have lost, who have yearned, and who have been hurt. For what we are reminded is there is an out-of-control bush growing among us. It is a bush, it is a weed that proclaims room enough for all of us. There is space on these branches. There is shade from the sun. This weed, this mysterious thing, God's mysterious ways of bringing about faith and love through the unexpected, it is God's promise that we who are in need will experience God's surpassing grace and disruptive love, for there is a weed out of control among us that is for us to shelter us, to welcome us, to encourage us, to infest other gardens with God's grace and God's love. And so, dear friends, as we go off into this week ahead, go with those reminders. Go with the reminders that it is not your sole responsibility to bring about God's love and justice and peace, but rather it is because God first loved us that we are the ones who can sow love in the world, not knowing how it will land, but not caring. For because of God, God's mysterious spirit, it is that which will assist and help that seed to take root. And at the same time, we know that God's reign is a rambunctious runner of a weed. It is spreading and growing and taking over the world. And we too can throw those weed-filled seeds around, knowing that God is building a reign for you, for me, for everyone, that calls together the undesirables, the ones that are imperfect, the ones that are supporting things that we wish we did not support. For we have a God that takes the seed that we throw, and then a God who does not rest in that. For our God is working to transform the world, taking what the world rejects as weeds and making it into a shelter for all. thanks be to God for that weedy bush and the ways that our God creates space for all. Amen.